Hey, welcome to the Ops team. Today we are here back in our little glass booth inside of our data center.
I feel like a fish.
Yeah.
A fish in a fishbowl.
Yeah. Mm. Things keep breaking in this room, just like in the real world as well.
And we are very good at creative engineering for what is going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like every single operations person in the world.
Nice.
We're able to fix things. We've had broken dongles this morning.
We're on camera, Simon. Camera. Yeah. You're the camera guy.
We're talking number two. There you go.
Yes.
Number two. There we go. We have this thing.
A broken
just
dongle.
Didn't want to work this morning. So we have an alternative camera, which is helping us out here. We're using a Surface Pro 3 camera.
So that
we can actually see myself and Rick. We can wave, and we will be on that camera. So, guys, what's been going on this week? Whereabouts?
Well, I'm just first of all glad that we're all in the same city at the same time
amazing.
To be able to record
yeah.
this. Because you're taking off for the UK this afternoon, aren't you?
I literally do take off for the UK this afternoon in about 3 hours' time.
Nice.
The band is back together.
Yeah. For a very, very short time.
I keep noticing that it's picking up facial recognition on this camera. I wondered if for your duration you're going to have squares on your face.
Nice.
Use a pair of squares.
As is tradition with the show, we're going to be spinning an object. This time the object is going to be a USB 3 Windows to Go drive.
32 gig.
32 gig.
Data traveler.
All right, here we go.
Oh, hang on. Are we just going to go straight in?
Absolutely, man.
Right, nothing else is new for us.
That's a bad throw.
I guess.
It's me.
Go for it.
Azure and cloud get to go first. You got the timer ready, buddy?
Yep. Hang on. Are you ready? Are you all set?
I'm set.
All right. Kind of felt like a brief introduction, but we'll just play with that. Here we go. You ready? Your 5 minutes start. Now,
thank you. I'm curious to see if a square is showing up on my face right now.
You need to duck behind your microphone more.
I don't think it's going to show up on the
output. If I go like this, you can't see the square.
Yeah.
We made a big announcement this week with regards to a new operating system that is supported on Microsoft Azure, and that one happens to be not Green Hat. Red Hat is now available.
Wow.
It was a long process and going. It was rather interesting to watch the whole drama and events go through. But we announced today by the blog post of Scott Guthrie, the Executive Vice President of Cloud and Enterprise Group, Microsoft, on the Microsoft News blog. And also it got bumped in. Everyone was talking about it on New York Times, on Bloomberg, and all sorts of stuff about the fact that we now have one of the most popular Linux distros available for enterprise applications, now available as a selectable operating system that's there in the not-too-distant future. So basically, 80% of the Fortune 500 are already using Microsoft Azure in some way, shape, or form, and now they're going to be able to go off and look at how to move their applications from different ISVs and from their own in-house applications that are currently on Red Hat. In the past, they used to have to go in and try to kind of hack it together with CentOS, I think it was the closest that we had to a light stripped-down version of Red Hat, but now it's there available. So it's going to be available natively for customers in the not-too-distant future, available to different data centers once the images replicate across all the regions. We're also going to have all of their enterprise-grade support spanning hybrid environments as well. With regards to neat thing, they have support engineers from Red Hat and Microsoft basically co-located to be able to answer support calls. It's not going to be pointy fingers. You call this guy and get that fixed and then come back and call us again and get that fixed. We're not going to be co-located in the same spot. Likewise, we're also going to be collaborating with them to be able to get some .NET stuff working across on the Red Hat Enterprise Linux environments as well. And then also, obviously, the ability to go through and to do support with regards to management of the OS on top of Azure with our different management tools. So it's going to be treated like a first-class citizen like the other Linux distros available as well. Did you guys catch the riveting webcast that he had that day as well?
I did not.
Anybody?
I did not. No.
No?
No? Neither did I, so obviously
okay.
It was that riveting. I'll have a link in the notes to be able to go off and point people to that one there as well. But what do you think about that, man?
I'm all about on-prem, and Red Hat has worked on-prem on Hyper-V for a while.
Right.
And it runs great, as does CentOS,
right.
And a number of other Linux distributions. So we're in a good place, but it's good that people now can move, if they've got on-prem stuff, either on VMware, on Hyper-V, whatever, move it to Azure, with tools like Azure Site Recovery as well. That's a tool that you could use. So Yeah, it's good.
I know that for me, when I would talk anytime about Azure and open source, and then we talk about, oh yeah, we've got Ubuntu and CentOS, and then it was like somebody raising their hand. It's like, hey, do you have Red Hat?
You sit in the front like, row. You must
I've
leave
heard
now.
That one before.
Yeah. We're working diligently with all of our partners. Yes, yeah. That's the answer I used to give all the time.
Yeah,
working diligently with all our partners. The other thing I want to talk about very briefly was a show I did a little while ago. It was a one-off. It wasn't an actual show like Tuesdays with Corey. That I did with Joe Levy, Mr. Automation, one of the Mr. Automations that are out there. In case you know him from his trivia crack fame, he's a guy that does Azure Automation Services that's now part of OMS.
Mm-hmm. Which is
OMS.
OMS.
It's you can put the M in front of it and call it MOMS if you want. It's now the Azure Automation Service is now brought into the OMS suite as well for automation. And nice. Mr. Snover stops by and does some demos for us. So he was the demo dolly for us, which is unique to have the lead fellow.
Is that episode where he keeps coming in and interrupting you?
He interrupts. He leaves his glasses on the table, nice. Comes back around, stuff like that. So
nice.
Someone actually said it looks like the freeze frame that I chose for that video. Looks like he's doing a... you put your right hand in, you put your right hand in.
Oh, nice.
Out,
the hokey pokey.
Right hand.
The hokey pokey.
The hokey pokey. It looks like he's doing a hokey pokey.
It's hokey pokey, isn't it? I don't think it's the pokey.
No.
Let us know.
What would you say?
Let
us know. Kids? Hokey pokey or hokey kokey?
Hokey pokey.
It's a pokey. It must be a UK thing.
It's a UK thing, yeah.
Do the hokey pokey. Hokey pokey sounds wrong.
Now you're going to tell us that all of our trucks are called lorries or something now, right?
Lorries.
Lorries, yeah.
Or a ute. That's Australia.
So this isn't a cultural debate.
Nice.
It's lorries and hokey cokey.
That's actually about all I have to be able to talk about, unless you guys have something else to add in.
No, you've got good time. You've got 15.
15 seconds?
Yeah, you've done well.
Okay, well, you know, done.
More TV shows you want to plug?
What?
Are you going to change the color of the hat?
No, change the color of the hat. It stays green, man. I have a brown.
My editing skills aren't good enough to change that.
We're all actually using a live cam. I guess we could use that live cam overlay thing.
That's it.
It's gone.
We're done, yeah. I chose a random sound. It was the ambulance last week. And it's nice. A cow this week. So nice.
There we go.
Good.
Okay,
good time.
So it's time to spin again.
So I've found a better way to make it spin there on that axis.
Yeah,
it works.
That's never
going to
stay up. See?
That's me.
David.
It's
stayed
on
his side. It's Mr. Tessar.
It's not even flat.
Right. All right, so you give me the timer.
Yep.
Yep.
You sure? You ready?
Yes.
You got what you want to talk about?
I do.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right, here we go.
All right, this week I thought I would do not necessarily a new announcement, but a topic that I think all ops folks should know about.
Uh-oh.
I got berated for giving a storage education session.
I know, I know, I know, I know. None of that anymore. You can talk all you want.
So what's the topic, my friend?
So anyway, topic is Kanban. Yes, Kanban.
Okay.
Yes, 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 yes. Exactly. Kanban. For most ops folks, Kanban. Anyways. Like, that's
a
Debbie thing. I don't care about that at all. Why do I? Should I matter? But it is a thing that people should care about. Yeah. So Kanban, in a high level, Kanban, what it is it's a way of tracking work that's in progress. Now that could be your personal task list of what you're doing for the day.
Yeah.
It could be in a development organization, right? That's often software, and what is the user story or feature that I'm working on. We also see ops teams in the enterprise using this. There's some sessions that are out there on that from DevOps Enterprise and some other places. But ops team,
hits the table,
ops,
yeah,
it
just gets ops excited team, and just starts.
That's right, smash. Yeah, no.
Come on.
But. Kanban, no.
Is this the sticky note concept?
So you can do Kanbans with sticky notes. In Visual Studio Online, we have an or Team Foundation server. We have Kanban boards as well there that you can digitally kind of use the virtual post-it note thing. And that is, you know, a great way for even ops teams to manage their work as well. Because, you know, a lot of times ops teams will be having 20 tickets and burned out and... And if you're that Brent ops guy, right, it's good to know how you can best manage your work and know that other folks and you being that guy that knows it all, right, and potentially looking at the flow of work through the system, right? So, you know, what we found in one of kind of the lean mindset thinkings is that, you know, when you have less work in progress, like less, you know, you have got one task and you finish it to completion, work flows much faster through that system. And even if that's a fix a trouble ticket right, in an ops team,
yep.
or whatever, mm-hmm. it you get a lot more done that way, as opposed to having 10 things going on all at once, right?
So Visual Studio's got it.
Yep.
What's the there's a web-based one that's very popular, people use.
So that's yeah. the one that he I know that's that Trello? He uses. Yeah. yeah.
So I'm heavily invested in Kanban. I've managed my entire life.
How do you spell it?
Kanban. K-A-N-B-A-N.
I would call that Kaban.
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 Isn't it?
Kanban. Yeah.
I would say Kaban. I don't know.
There's, like, there's an N in the middle. It's not a silent N.
I don't know.
Kapow.
Kapow. What?
No. Carry on.
Kanban. Nice. Yeah. So that's I've used it a couple times on mm-hmm. some projects, but mm-hmm. how do you know what to put at the top?
Yeah, so typically, yeah, so that's a good, yeah, there's, you can customize what columns you want, but most people typically go with three columns.
Okay.
There's kind of like left-hand column, which is like stuff that I could do, right? And then there's typically like a in-progress column, mm-hmm. and then on the right-hand side, there's it's done, right? So you get that satisfaction of moving it over to completion, right? Now there is this concept of definition of done, and that's a thing. That is a thing. DOD or definition of done, and that is, it ties mostly back to software delivery. Where if you've got, let's say, a user story of a feature or something that somebody's going to deliver, you define how do I know that that thing is actually done? Like, how do I know that I can move it to the done column?
Right.
Right. And so that could be whatever you want in terms of how to move things along, but you know, if you're doing the personal thing, you know when it's done. But you know, if you've got a team of folks using a Kanban board, whether it's ops or not, you do, you know, there's different ways to tackle that, such as acceptance criteria, like I know that this is completed when I can go here and this is resolved or whatever, right?
Yep,
whatever
yep.
that is. So yeah. But it's nice. Customizable, right? And there's other these other things called swim lanes that you can do. So that's another cool thing.
Yeah. But I can't swim.
Swim lanes.
I don't know how to swim.
What?
I can't swim.
Well, we could put you in, you know, like for instance, there could be an ops swim lane and a dev swim lane. And then I can't swim
floaties.
Swim lane.
Little floaties around the arms?
Yeah.
Also known as armbands.
The floaty swim lane for people who really have a hard
and this
time.
This ties into Kanban?
It does.
So he's
yeah.
using his Kanban
can, and
in
you
the
can
floaty swim lane.
Yeah.
And it's hokey pokey.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah. And you can do that with Visual Studio Online as well, create those swim lanes. So, yeah, it's a good time. It's kind of like the split across. So if you had those three columns,
yeah.
you would have like a horizontal split for different types of work to kind of visualize that in the system. So that's what a swim lane is. Yeah. So now you know.
Ooh.
Oh, perfect timing. There
I'm
we go.
Give you a round of applause.
You can have links for all that sort of stuff we talked about.
Yeah, I could throw some Kanban
nice.
Links in there.
Yeah,
excellent.
And is there any cost associated with this?
Well, you know, that's Visual Studio Online is free for up to 5 users. So, I mean, if you didn't want to use Trello for your personal thing and you wanted to use, you could technically use Visual Studio Online for the same thing if you really wanted, and it is free. So, for up to 5 mm-hmm. users, or if you have MSDN, it's you know
okay.
included.
Nice.
I can't, yeah. I can't do a free. I've got a free sound.
Go ahead and spin, my friend.
All right.
You can use your on-the-side technique again.
Let's see if we can try this again. Oh, that would be you.
Excellent.
That's you.
Yeah.
You're up.
10 minutes on the timer. I'm kidding. Right. Infrastructure, here we go. There we go. So I've got 3 things to talk about again this week. I didn't go to 4 because I left myself with very limited time last week, which was a challenge. Sticking with your Linux side of things, the operations management suite. So great segue. We should have gone one after another, really.
Yeah.
Operations management suite, if you're not familiar, 4 key components. There's the automation that Rick mentioned, there's Azure backup, there's Azure site recovery, and there's log analytics and security analytics. And what we've announced essentially is from the monitoring side is support for Linux, so a Linux agent. And I've actually got on my screen, because I'm allowed to have that, you'll see a couple of days back.
How come he's
the
only one that's allowed to have a screen?
He gets to have the best
dongle.
Experience
of all
of us. And I got handicapped because I'm using the camera here today.
Yeah,
so
snooze, you lose.
That's why he doesn't want to give up the soundboard, because he wants to have it all.
I did say earlier on, if you put your links in the notes, I will project them.
Ah. Okay.
Nice. No, I'm still using my valuable time here. So the OMS agent for Linux, so an ops management suite agent for Linux. The little graphics haven't come through on this, even though I thought the reboot may fix that. But essentially, it enables you to monitor from the cloud. So this is a cloud-based service you can consume, really easy to set up, but you can collect your syslogs from Linux, you can monitor your Docker, container logs, metrics, inventory. If you're using Nagios or Zabbix, another popular one, I guess, we're supporting those as well. The blog post, which will be in the show notes, talks about all of the different things, all the different points of data that we can collect. It's very, very valuable. And if you've not used Operations Management Suite, you can sign up for free. You can use, you get 500 meg of capacity or bandwidth essentially for free. And then as you need more, you can start to pay. I'll use my cha-ching soundboard there, imaginary. So it's just try it out. You can use it for your Windows systems, your Linux systems, no matter where they reside, whether they're on-prem, in the cloud, in Azure, whatever. So really cool stuff. Like I say, I'll put the blog post link in the show notes under the video, so you'll be able to see that. But it's some cool stuff, and again, just highlights how much we're working with the Linux community and Linux commercial vendors to really enable you to manage heterogeneous infrastructure on-prem and in the cloud. Now, the other thing that I wanted to call out is a blog post that actually wasn't by Microsoft. It was one of our MVPs. I always like to give it a bit of a tip of the hat to our MVPs. But it's coincidentally something I've been building in demo this week around REFS. So that's not refs or referees if you're in England. REFS, the Resilient File System, has taken on a big leap forward in the Windows Server 2016 release, specifically at this stage in the preview cycle, around accelerated virtual hard disk provisioning and merging. So for instance, if you were to create a 50 gig virtual hard disk of fixed size, where we zero out all the blocks in the virtual disk, and you did that on NTFS today in 2016, that might take minutes. And in my test environment that I tested on, it took, what was it, 35 minutes? And that was provisioning to a single volume on a spinning USB disk. So 35 minutes, have that in your mind. I did the same thing, creating a 50 gig fixed size disk on an REFS volume on the same physical drive. It took 1 second.
Whoa.
It's phenomenal. It is phenomenal, the change.
I go back to when I hear this scream of anguish from across the hallway, and it was David because he had his VHD file corrupted because it was on top of an REFS back in 2012.
Yes.
And he was so negative. Off. Yeah,
things
so
are great.
Now it's a supported and recommended file system.
It's going to be the recommended file system for use with Hyper-V. Yep. It's actually used heavily in the Storage Spaces Direct, which I gave you an education on a couple of episodes ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was very useful. But Aiden's got a great post. I'll put that in the... he's compared and contrasted it with offloaded data transfer, which was actually introduced in Windows Server 2012, where the SAN is doing a lot of that kind of enhanced provisioning work and stuff. So he did a more test than I did and showed the impact of REFS versus NTFS. And it's applicable when you're creating and provisioning virtual hard disks, when you're merging checkpoints. So if you do use checkpoints, this is going to be beneficial. Or snapshots.
Is there anything you shouldn't use REFS for still?
Yeah, it's the scenario that I'm talking about is the primary scenario. If you're looking to use it for, I think Exchange does support it actually going forward as well. The latest version of Exchange is going to support REFS as well. So we are documenting more and more workloads as we go forward that are applicable to REFS. But as a general purpose, there's still features in NTFS that aren't going to be in REFS by intention. So we're not trying to create a new NTFS. REFS is a more specialized subset of the features. And backups as well. So things like replica, if you were replicating to a second site and you wanted to merge those changes in, that's going to be beneficial on REFS as well. I don't know how much time I've got.
That's it.
I've got. Good. There we go. So
I found a technique here that I think is going to work. It's the slow movement, although it doesn't matter anymore because it's all you.
Slowly move it in my direction.
I will include the final link that I had in the show notes anyway. It was about software-defined networking. You can read all about that blog post, but the main two that I got through were what I wanted.
You're out of time, sir.
No, I was just giving...
Stand down.
Yes.
Just giving some extra context.
I use Azure Resource Manager templates for my software-defined networking. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You've had your time.
I don't know.
It's just to get it in there.
What can I say? Yeah. Okay, let's start the timer. Let's get through this.
Oh, yeah, hang on.
Okay.
Here we go. You ready? I'm going to start it now.
Yes. Okay, so I'm actually going to start off back where David finished. I'm going to talk about my Kanban a little bit here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like we were in sync
or something
here.
Well, I'm inspired
this
to share this.
The amount of planning we have for cross-collaboration on Steam.
It just kind of happens. But, I actually produced a post a couple of weeks ago about the way that I work and the tools that I use and that kind of thing, where I did mention using Trello. And a bunch of folks sent me some tweets saying, tell us how you use Trello. Which I've not been able to do yet.
Okay.
Just
this
literally
is the
haven't
answer
had the
for
time.
Them.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, this is just the answer for you guys that asked that question. So I haven't actually got there yet. I will produce that post. But what I wanted to do was just give folks a link to a book that I read a while ago. And that book is called Personal Kanban, Mapping Work, Navigating Life by a guy called Jim Benson, who actually, I think...
Not the guy that made the Muppets.
I don't think so. No, that was Henson. Jim Henson. Jim Henson. Yeah,
he's multi-skilled.
Yeah,
he's,
very, very,
he's
very
also
skilled.
Pushing up daisies right now.
Yeah. It's, it's kind of odd. When you read the book, you kind of get the feeling that maybe this guy used to work at Microsoft at some point, which is kind of strange, but I think he may have done. So, really good book. It actually explains like how you can build your own personal Kanban flow and all that kind of thing. So, very, very cool. And I definitely recommend it. There's also, if you're one of those people that does your entire kind of productivity through Outlook, and every single task is an email in your inbox.
Yep.
That's probably me, actually, before I started doing this. Then there's actually a really cool plugin for Outlook as well. So I'll dig out the link for that. And it will just literally turn all of your email into a Kanban board inside of Outlook.
What about tasks, though? Because I'm a big task guy of Outlook. We'll do that too, then we're good.
As long as you flag an email, it turns it into a task.
Okay.
So, yes, and then that's what actually makes it appear on the board.
I do calendar entries.
Oh, I see.
And I just take an email, I drop it into my calendar, which means during this time I have to work on this one thing.
That's a really nice way of doing it. Yeah, that's a nice way of doing it.
It looks like I found my reading for my flight to Australia.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that. I'm also recommending an OAuth book at the moment if you want to read something more technical. Anyway, the thing that I really wanted to talk about was, as absolutely sexy as this sounds, really good TechNet article that got published the other day.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you author of that TechNet article?
No.
Okay, good.
It's a really good technical.
Shameless self.
No, it's a good technical. So this is actually a really, really, really detailed walkthrough of controlling the health of Windows 10 based devices. When I say really detailed, I think if you print it out, it's about 25 pages. So it really is pretty serious. It's a... I would honestly say this is like a level 350 to 400 depth technical article, but it's different because it doesn't just talk about one single piece of the technology that you need to do this. It talks about the end-to-end stack so that you can do a kind of security in-depth kind of approach. So it really goes through the processes of what you need to do to set up kind of hardware-based health attestation with the TPM inside of the physical device, how you get things like UEFI into a position where it's going to give you secure boot working, so it's going to tell you, hey, the machine's booted up, and how the TPM is then going to be able to attest that once Windows has started, everything started up as expected. Then it explains that what we'll do in Windows 10, if you enable it, is we'll send some of that that information from the...
Should have got those cough drops, I told you.
Yeah.
I'll be all right, I've got my coffee.
It'll be okay. Yeah, coffee doesn't work for coughs, despite the name. What this will actually do, it'll take the registers from the TPM, certain bits of that information, throw it up into the health attestation service and just allow your machine to get some certificates back that say, yeah, actually the code hasn't been tampered with. It really is the code that we're expecting to be running on this machine. It then goes into how we will use things like the virtual secure mode, the Hyper-V partitions on Windows 10 in order to be able to prevent leaking of credentials through things like pass the hash attacks. And Ben Armstrong has a great video on Windows 10, and he's actually trying to use Mimikatz in order to compromise his own machine. So that's kind of cool.
It was, I think you called that out in the last upstream as well, because I put it in the links for that one.
Yeah, it was in the links for that show. Yeah, you're right. So that's a great thing to watch. And then it also talks about how the health attestation service will tie into your MDM, like Microsoft Intune, and actually use that before it's going to allow you access to any resources, which ties into something called conditional access inside of Azure AD. So all of this kind of ties together. It also has this great section in the middle where it actually goes through something that I haven't seen us do for quite a long time, which is an internal architecture diagram inside of Windows. This is very similar
I'm looking at the screen, it's stunning.
It's stunningly boring, isn't it? It is a stunningly dull picture, but it absolutely reminds me of back when I was learning how NT4 works.
Oh.
how NT4 works, and then the cow.
then the cow.
That pretty much makes sense.
Cattle, right, not there. Pets.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
So that's all of our four areas. We need an ops team Twitter update.
Yes.
So can you guess without looking? You've got it on there already, because I've got it on my screen as well. I wasn't sure if you'd brought it up.
Of course.
How many followers have we got now, do you think?
I haven't. Well, let me check the followers.
I've got it, so you can guess before you look.
I would say 86.
Nope.
I'm going to go with 100.
Closer.
Did we crack 100?
104.
You've looked.
Ah,
it was 106.
Really?
106. Oh. Yeah, there we go.
Woo-hoo. I did the whole
100%.
I did the whole Price is Right thing. Like, I want to do just the one above the person that's the highest.
That is 100% without any marketing dollars, as you can tell by the quality of the show.
Well, and only four tweets.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, there
we probably need to up that.
I do want to do a shout out to a couple of people that interact with us on the Twitters. Andre Murano was asking if this team should be called the Fast Ring.
Ooh.
No.
Because the way that we just get these updates, I don't know about how fast we get these updates out.
Chris, pretty quick.
Chris Bradshaw at Alder Short Chris, I think was his Twitter handle, was saying that he's kicking back on a Sunday night with the Xbox Channel 9 app to watch the Ops team.
Wow.
Very nice to see that one there.
Thank you.
I'm just going to ignore Matt McSpirit because he's making fun of the excellent episode.
Hopefully people did find it excellent. At least, include my Twitter handle.
Our good friend Veronica over at Microsoft Learning decided to have a cup of tea with an egg. She put a picture up.
Classy.
That's nice.
I have that mug as
well. I do want to say, I do take offense to the fact that she got like a bald egg.
Well, what other egg can we get?
I don't know. let me do an egg impersonation. I'll take my glasses off.
That's wow.
Nice hat ring.
So, for those folks out there who have never seen this before, this is Rick without a hat. You may want to take a screenshot of that particular part of the video.
I didn't even know he had a top of a head.
Oh, nice.
I thought that thing was sewn on.
But we took it off.
Would that be an egg? That says Scott.
We have our next group of people lined up to get into the studio because we started late.
We're getting kicked
troubleshooting.
Out. We've still got 10 minutes on our allocation.
We should wrap up and be nice to the next team that's coming in. Thanks for coming out.
It's been
a
pleasure.
Get a hold of all of us online in case you wanted to. You know how to reach us. I'm @RicksterCDN.
I'm @SignSlyMonster.
@MattMcSpirit.
@DTZAR.
You got it. And actually @TheOpsTeam is where you can find all of us. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. Hopefully you get this one out a little bit earlier the next time. See you next time.
See you
later.